It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds, and welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer. If you are not aware, the F's are over. Long live the F's. This is the first pre-G bonus episode. I am planning to get you maybe weekly episodes before the G's start. And picking up from the tradition of last year before the F's, I am going to read you new words that have been added to the dictionary. Of course, I have to go to the online resource, not my physical book, because the physical book is physical. You can't really change it unless I write in there with a pen, "Here's a new word." No, I have gone to the Oxford English Dictionary webpage, and they update it. They update their online website, it seems like, 4 times a year. Every quarter, they're adding new words. And so I am going to start reading to you these new words just from March 2025. I'm going to read, I don't know, the first 20 or so. I guess I should figure out which the 20th one is. I don't know. We'll just see how many we can get through before the G's actually start at some point in the future. So the format's going to be a little bit different. These are going to be shorter, probably. I don't know. Let's just sort of see what happens. All right, here we go. Here we go. Here's the first word added to the Oxford English Dictionary in March of 2025. The word is, they don't have pronunciation, so I'm going to have to be guessing on a lot of these. Alamak, A-L-A-M-A-K. This is an interjection, and it means expressing surprise, shock, dismay, or outrage. With this one, I did go on to the, there's a link, these are hyperlinked to another page, and the meaning and use, it shows a few examples. In 1952, somebody said, "Alamak, the military depot is going up in pieces. Look, look." That's sort of how you can use it. Somebody in 2024 on X said, "LMAC, lunch actually," that's a matchmaking service, "now approaching singles on LinkedIn?" Question mark, exclamation, exclamation. I'm not going to do this for all of them, but this word comes from Malay. It's a Malay word. And it's an interjection. Oh, hey, I'm expressing my surprise, Alamak, or Alamak, depending on how you want to say it. All right, no sound effects in this episode. We're moving on. Let's do a quick count. Let's find the 20th word. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. All right, that word. We'll do both forms of that word. That'll be 20 and 21. Okay, here we go. The next word is bachata. This is a noun, and it means a style of music originating in the Dominican Republic, characterized by an emotional vocal style and romantic or bittersweet lyrics. Typically, there's an ellipsis at the end of this. Do we have to go to the page to find out more information? We do. Typically accompanied by guitars and percussion instruments such as bongos, maracas, or güiros. And then also a song performed in this style is, bachata? Now, how do you pronounce it? In English, we say bachata. Bachata. Yep, that's pretty good. All right, well, I guess I might have to go to the extra links on a lot of these. Never heard of bachata music. Now I'm curious. All right, next we have, I believe this will be pronounced baile, B-A-I-L-E. This is a social gathering for dancing, typically including traditional Spanish or Mexican dances. Also, in extended use, a venue where dances are held. So the gathering is the baile, and the place where it's happening is the baile. And I believe this is from the Spanish bailar, which means to dance. And let's see, anything else to say about it? I don't know. I think baile. Yep, that's how we want to pronounce it. So, hey, I'm going to a baile tonight. No, I'm not. Okay, next is baja sexto. This is a noun. It is an instrument similar to a guitar, but lower in pitch with 12 strings arranged in six courses. I don't know how strings are arranged in courses. Oh, okay, for my first course at this meal, I'm going to eat these two strings. Oh, that was a yummy appetizer course. And now my soup course will be these two strings. It is used in the music of Northern Mexico and got to go to the link. I have been limited in how many links I can click on this website, and I have to pay to get more information. So, this is what we're going to do. Any of these definitions that have ellipses, I guess I'm just going to skip those entries, or maybe I'll just read up to the ellipses, and then you'll just have to, it'll be a cliffhanger. You'll have to just guess, oh, what could the rest of the information be? Well, hopefully the information before the ellipses is enough to get you excited. All right, well, the bajo sexto is a guitar, similar to a guitar. Next, we have barbacoa, noun. In Mexican cookery, this is beef, lamb, or other meat that has been slowly cooked with seasonings, typically served shredded as a filling in tacos, burritos, and more. What more options could those be? Oh, they could be anything. I have had vegan barbacoa. There is a restaurant in Chicago called Quesadilla La Reina del Sur, and it is all veggie and vegan. And they have they make their own many, many types of veggie meats, including barbacoa. I think they even make a chicharron, which is like a pig skin, pork skin. But of course, no pigs were hurt in the making of their barbacoa. Yep, that's that one. Now we got to go to barbudo, B-A-R-B-U-D-O, noun. With reference to the Cuban Revolution, 1953 to 1959, so that's our context here, this is a revolutionary soldier under the leadership of Fidel Castro. And then later, more generally, a member of the ellipses. I am a member of the ellipses. A barbudo. Never heard of it. That's why it's being added to the dictionary. So more people in English-speaking places can be learning about these things that are not from English-speaking places. Next, we have bed and breakfasting. Don't forget about the ing at the end. Now, it says it is a noun, okay, and it's British, and it's in the finance world. It is the action or practice of selling shares later in the day and buying them back early the next morning so as to gain a tax advantage. This seems illegal, but I don't know. Maybe it's not. I guess technically they're not doing anything wrong. I don't know. They're just using the system. They're taking advantage of how the system works. So bed and breakfasting, they're doing a thing late, and then they're like, oh, I'm waking up from my wonderful sleep last night. Thank you for providing me a meal. I'm now going to buy these things back. I'm going to do some bed and breakfasting, selling and buying. I don't understand this stuff. Now we have bed hopper, two words with a hyphen, noun. It is a person who gets out of bed or changes beds frequently. So you're dealing with two very different situations here. Somebody who gets out of bed frequently, so maybe they're taking a lot of naps. They get out of bed in the morning, they have their breakfast, they take a nap. They get out of bed, they have lunch, they take a nap. They get out of bed, they have dinner, they take a nap. They watch a movie, they go to bed, and then in the morning they get up. They're a bed hopper. But I feel like more commonly this is used for people who are changing beds frequently. Maybe not literally buying a new bed, but maybe, oh, I'm just gonna hop in your bed for the night. What's in your bed? Let's have some fun in your bed. And then the next night, maybe they hop into somebody else's bed. They're a bed hopper. Next, Betty Baw. Two words with a hyphen, B-E-D-D-Y, and then B-A-W. This is a noun. It is a child's word for bed or sleep. And this is frequently plural, like you would say, Betty Buys. I'm going Betty Buys now. Okay, it's time for sleep. I hope there's no children who are going Betty Buys and bed hopping. You know, when they have sleepovers, they're doing a little bed hopping. Next we have bedrid. No, it would be bedrid. Bedrid. Verb, transitive. To cause someone to become confined to bed due to sickness, injury, or infirmity. And then also to make bedridden. So, you know, when you are bedridden, you like, my body's all messed up. The doctor says I gotta stay in bed. So the doctor would be bedridden somebody. They're saying, you gotta go lay in bed. So this is causing someone to be confined to bed due to sickness, injury, or infirmity. So then are you causing... Oh, I forgot to put on my side lights. This must look terrible if you're watching the video. So are you causing the sickness, the injury, or the infirmity when you are bedridden somebody, or are you just making them get into bed because of those things? It could be either, but it's probably more the last one, I think. If you break somebody's leg, then you are bedridden them. All right, next we have bedroom suite. Bedroom suite. This is a noun. It is a bedroom with one or more adjoining rooms, typically including a bathroom. It's a suite. It's a whole suite of rooms. Oh my gosh, we've got the bedroom, and then we've got the ensuite bathroom, and then maybe a whole other closet room. Maybe it's a whole walk-in closet that you got over there, and then maybe even you got your own little kitchenette in your bedroom suite. Wouldn't that be great? Next we have bedsteadle. I'm not sure how to pronounce this one. It's a noun, and it's just a bedstead. B-E-D-S-T-E-A-D. It's a bedsteadle. Next we have bedware. None of these are in the dictionary? Well, they are now. Bedwear is a noun, and it is clothing suitable for wearing in bed. This could literally be anything. Whatever you want to wear to bed, that's your bedwear. Some people like no bedwear. They like their what do you call it? Their birthday suit. They like their birthday suit to be their bedwear. I am not one of those people. I need a little something. But I can't wear a shirt to bed. It just gets all like tangled, and I'm a little too OCD or whatever to be able to wear a shirt. So, but some people, you know, they want a whole thing. Back in the day, people were wearing big old robes and hats and who knows, maybe slippers, wearing slippers to bed. Not me. I can't wear any of that stuff. Bedwear. What's your bedwear? Next we have birria. B-I-R-R-I-A. It's a noun. And we're talking about Mexican cookery here. We've had at least two Mexican cookery words, and we've had a couple other Spanish words as well. So, a birria is a dish consisting of goat, beef, lamb, or other meat, marinated in a mixture of vinegar, chili, and other seasonings, and ellipses. I don't know, and just other tasty stuff. This sounds pretty tasty. It's the dish. I don't care for any of those meats, but of course we can veganize them. And the chiller? No, the vinegar, the chili, and other seasonings. A birria. Never heard of it. I want to eat it. Next we have bits. How do we say this? This looks like maybe another kind of Spanish word. Bizcochito. Bizcochito, I think. B-I-Z. C-O-C-H-I-T-O. It's a noun, and it is in New Mexico and originally other Hispanic communities. So yes, this is a Spanish word. And it is a crisp, crumbly biscuit made with lard, flavored with anise, and dusted with cinnamon, .. I wonder if, like, biscuit, biscochito. There's something similar between those words, as I'm sure that you can hear. But yeah. Oh, it's the New Mexican state cookie. I'm looking up some extra stuff. There's a song called Bizcochito by Spanish artist Rosalia. Maybe I did too much R rolling there. Rosalia from 2022. Let's see. Spanish settlers. So, of course, in America, we spell it a little bit differently. But yeah, little cookie. That's what it is. And biscuit. I believe the British people use biscuit for a cookie. It's a little bit different. I saw something that, like, do British people on their websites, do they have to clear their biscuits? All right, so that's a bizcochito. Next we have blah. Really? B-L-A-A. This is a noun. It is a soft white bread roll dusted with flour, particularly associated with Waterford, Ireland. Also, in, what is this, Waterford blah? So it's a roll. It's a white bread roll associated with a specific town in Ireland, and they call it a blah. I want to look this one up. Blah roll. And I just think it's funny that it's spelled B-L-A-A. Interesting. I don't know. Is there anything special or different about it? It's also called a Waterford blah. Oh, I mean, it looks like a tasty roll. You've probably seen these. It looks like your very typical roll, and there's some flour dusted on top. Soft and crusty. Ooh, I love a soft and crusty roll. Anyway, that's a blah. Next we have bomb diggity. Two words. It's a noun and an adjective. And it says, let's see. I don't know what CF means. There's this abbreviation here. It says in predicative use with the word the. So the bomb diggity. Are you the bomb diggity? This podcast is the bomb diggity. It is the very best. And also the acme of excellence. Just the best thing ever. So clearly, yes, this podcast is the bomb diggity. Yeah, it says bomb noun A2. I don't know what any of those things mean. So we're going to skip it and we're going to move on to a very related word, which is bomb diggy, D-I-G-G-Y. Now, I have always heard this as bomb diggity. I'm always saying bomb diggity, but also bomb diggy. This is a noun. It's the same thing, literally the same information. You would say the bomb diggy. I don't know. I prefer the bomb diggity. I don't know why, but bomb diggity just seems so much more right to me than bomb diggy. Which do you prefer? All right, next we've got bomb proof. Two words with a hyphen. It is a transitive verb, and at least this first definition is. It's often in passive, if you care for that information. It is to make something bomb-proof. And also to render something, like a building or a place, strong enough to resist the impact of bombs. Bombproof. We got a bombproof this place. I mean, I think this one's pretty clear. There is an ellipsis, so there's more information somewhere. Somewhere in the depths of the Oxford Dictionary's website. Next, I think this is our last word. We got two forms. It's the word bomba. B-O-M-B-A. Now, are there those podcast ads for Bombas? The socks and do other things, maybe? So, what is a bomba? It is a noun. The first form is a noun. We're talking about Puerto Rican culture here. So, this is an African-influenced dance characterized by usually improvised sequences of intricate footwork and playful movements, if it's intricate footwork, but it's usually improvised, so really you can just do whatever you want with your footwork, or maybe there are specific moves, and you can improvise like how you want to utilize those moves and in what order you put them. So that is a bomba, an African-influenced dance in Puerto Rico. So what's the next bomba? This is going to be our very last word. It's also a noun, this second form, and it is more fully bomba rice. more fully bamba rice. I don't understand what that means. That's not a full sentence. But it also says, it is a variety of short-grained rice that retains a firm texture after cooking, chiefly used in paella, which is Spanish. Yeah, paella, the big old dish out with rices and usually a lot of seafood and veggies and stuff. A rice usually used in paella, and it's called a bamba. It's a more fully bamba rice. Oh, maybe it's saying more fully, it's bamba rice. That's the full term. Maybe that's what it means. Okay, got it. So, nothing to do with bamba socks. So sorry. I was expecting, I don't know, maybe it's related to the dance somehow. You got to wear the socks when you do the dance. I don't know. All right, well, that was about 20 words. And I guess maybe in next week, there will be another episode where I'll talk about another 20 words or so. All right, that will be the end of this pre-G bonus episode. Until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information, because that's what I do sometimes. Bye!